This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
We have breaking news from I-93. In between exits 13 and 14 southbound, there is a sinkhole. So they will be redirecting traffic from I-93 due to the sinkhole. We'll have more on that in a moment. Right now, it's Food for Thought with Carol and Mike.
All right, Andrew, that was I-93 between what and what again?
Exit 13 and 14.
Okay, so that's Concord.
Southbound.
Okay, glad you were listening.
Southbound.
All right, very good. Andrew, thanks for that traffic update. I thought he was going to give us some news about Tom Brady because that's going on right now. There's been some further movement in that and the news that broke today. And I was just thinking about this yesterday, and then all of a sudden I see it broke. And that is Jared. I don't know if you heard about this.
Yeah, the Subway guy.
He had been accused of having pornographic materials,
right.
And having inappropriate relationships with a minor. So they went in and they took all the computers out of the house. And this was a couple months ago.
Yeah,
it was sometime earlier in the summer. Well, apparently he has been sentenced. He did a plea deal, and he's going to get somewhere between 5 and 13 years in prison.
No way.
Yep.
So they did. Oh, my gosh. That is terrible.
That's disappointing.
Right, the sinkhole. It was a mistake. It's not southbound. It is northbound. So I-93 between exits 13 and 14. There's a major sinkhole in Concord, and it is northbound. So,
Wow, and that's such a hugely traveled part of the Concord area in 93. Well, I wonder how big it is. So, Andrew, when you find out any more information, let us know. I mean, I hope nobody got swallowed up by it while they were driving. I mean, I'm hate to think how many times I go over that spot.
No kidding,
right?
Oh my gosh, that's scary.
So anyway, so Jared, the Subway spokesperson, will be going away to the big house. He took a plea deal, which means there's probably other stuff that will not be revealed as part of the plea agreement. Is okay. Well, you're gonna, you're getting this much. And if we bring out more, it could be worse. So just all parties be quiet.
I was really, because I didn't hear that they had come to, that.
Right.
Investigation. Mm-hmm. I was really hoping that when we did hear that it was just going to be somebody else.
Me
and,
too.
Oh, my gosh. You watch these people, and that is just awful.
Well, I mean, and even more surprising to most people would be the Bill Cosby situation,
which has been going on for years.
It has been, but it just started trickling out, and then once the floodgates are open, all the other offended victims are going to step forward, and that's somewhere numbering around 50 now.
Yeah.
So just when you think you know somebody, you hope that you know somebody for what they seem to be, that isn't always the case.
True.
So that's the latest, and it is somewhat food-related, which is why we bring it up, because we've talked about it on the air.
Well, we talk about, newsworthy things
from time
to time, even if they're not food-related. But today we have a packed show, as usual. Coming up next, after our first break, we'll be joined with Ethan Jenkins, who has hiked the Appalachian Trail. And I just can't wait to hear his story, and I'm sure he has some good food stories too along the way.
Oh yeah,
I'm sure.
Even though the focus of his adventure isn't food, there were certain parts of the story that I was a little surprised because I'm not at all part of the AT culture, as they call it, about the people called Trail Angels and the food that is provided to hikers by various well-intentioned people. But the motivation to walk the trail for Ethan was a pretty serious one, and it's a story that blew me away, and I'll explain how I got to know Ethan, because I have a story in New Hampshire Magazine in the September issue that reflects what you're going to hear today.
Wonderful.
On The Pulse.
Wonderful. And when you think about it, we could pretty much have any guest on.
Absolutely.
You can from any area of, walks of life, any, because you can always talk to them about food.
We can
always intertwine it with food somehow.
Oh, yes, because we all have to eat, right?
We all have to eat.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So who else we got coming up?
And we will be joined with, of course, our favorite segment, which we missed last week because she was on jury duty. Duty, jury duty is Donna from Delaware. Donna's Delights in Delaware, so I'm anxious to hear what she has on tap.
And well, then, my money says that she didn't get seated on a trial.
Yeah,
because most people don't.
See.
Yeah,
who knows? Might be different in New
Jersey. Or
maybe
maybe we don't know. Maybe she's sequestered somewhere.
Who knows?
And we don't know. Yeah.
Well, no, because she did text me and tell me she could call.
Oh, she did.
So
oh,
she was
good.
Sequestered. She wouldn't be able to call.
All right.
So, and then we'll be joined with my dad. We'll see what he has on tap for us. Some new recipe, some new tip, something like that. So.
Well, here's some news. I was listening to the news that we had during the top of the hour from Channel 9, and that is, you know, Donald Trump getting all these points, and you know he's creeping up on you know Hillary Clinton and or whatever. So here we go. The American City Diner in Washington, D.C. recently introduced a new menu item that pays homage to, or as they say, homage, to the Donald in the form of a bologna sandwich, quote, big enough to fit in Trump's mouth, end of quote, according to the card that comes with each sandwich. The sandwich features a pound of bologna.
I was going to say, it must be huge.
It is.
Oh.
Plus lettuce, tomato, and mayonnaise on toasted white bread. It is quite a specialty item. Normally, we don't even carry bologna, the sandwich's inventor and diner owner Jeffrey Gilderhorn told the New York Post. Now, see, if you'd have thought of this, I'd be reading about you today.
True.
But
true.
You probably don't think in terms of exploiting or helping any of the politicians, right?
I don't. Yeah, I need to stay in the middle of the
Yeah, road. Exactly. I totally get that. The sign in front of the diner now boasts it's the home of the Trump sandwich full of bologna. Gilderhorn, you may have guessed, isn't a fan of Trump, but appreciates the opportunity to capitalize on his fame.
Hmm.
So there you go. Trump is going to be everywhere, basically by saying things that are so politically incorrect that you can't avoid them. I mean, I think a lot of people, he resonates with people that are tired of political correctness, but, I mean, he takes it to a whole new level. I mean, saying that Heidi Klum is no longer a 10, why would you say that?
Terrible.
Why would you say that? And, you know, he essentially... has not been kind to women. I mean, he's not going to get the female vote. He is not going to be nominated. And I know this isn't a political show, but I think everybody can see that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I hope so, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, all right, today in food history. Today, the national holiday is. It's right up our alley. Right up our alley. As a matter of fact.
Hot stuff?
Hot and spicy
hot
food
spicy.
Day.
Oh, well, and we're celebrating by some wonderful spicy gazpacho that you brought in today, and I love it out of these ball canning jars.
Mason jars.
So what you brought in today perfectly fits that.
Yeah, everything in that jar is from the Bedford Farmers Market, except for mozzarella. I put in a little bit of mozzarella.
Yeah.
But the feta is from there. I put in a little bit of feta, like an ounce of it, you know.
Right.
But farm fresh tomatoes, cucumbers, peppers.
Onions.
Tomatoes were so beautiful. Red onion.
Yes.
The tomatoes were gorgeous. I got them from Apple Hill Farm this week.
Oh, you
week.
Did? Okay.
I did this week. They had a great... I go through and I kind of like scan and, you know, I pick them up and look at them. And I mean, they're all nice, but I navigated towards Apple Hill Farm yesterday. So
now the cilantro too was a nice touch.
Cilantro in my gazpacho, yes. But all and you know what I used? I also used Celeste Oliva cayenne olive oil.
All right, I did see what appeared to be some oil in there.
Yes,
it's not much, but
not a lot.
It gives it a nicer texture, I think.
Doesn't
a little nicer feel or sheen or whatever you want to call it.
I agree.
So that
because I
was
saw
a good
that
move.
Too. I was going to see if you had kind of noticed that. But.
So the question is, what is this called? What recipe is this called?
It is Carol's Farm Fresh
Spicy
Gazpacho.
Okay.
Spicy gazpacho.
Well, it's good because again, it's not over the top spicy.
Yeah.
And what
great.
Did you use for the spicy aspect of it?
The cayenne pepper olive oil from Celeste Oliva.
Oh, so that's what gave us the heat.
That's what gave it the heat.
Wow.
Yeah, that is it.
That's a good way to do
it. And just salt and pepper.
I could definitely see doing that if you're making chili.
Definitely.
Because it would give it that little extra smoothness.
That olive oil is so good. I actually bought some yesterday.
Did you?
We're on, I think, our third bottle of it.
Is it expensive?
I bought two bottles yesterday. It's like a good size medium, you know, good size bottle. It was $32 for the two.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Not bad.
Two.
It's a little more than in the store, but as we found out this week from
I'll
Steve Freeman. Well, don't bring me a whole bottle.
Well,
just
I'll
give me a little
thing of
a little
you know,
that I can play with.
Yeah,
it.
Exactly. I have like little baby mason jars. I'll fill one up.
Oh, do you really?
I do.
She's got it all.
I do.
The Steve Freeman comment the other day from Manchester Food Co-op is there's so much crime and corruption in the olive oil production and trading world
is.
That a lot of the stuff that you're getting isn't what it's supposed to be because people are looking the other way with grading and specifics. And that was bad to hear.
I already knew that. I did
okay.
know that. I knew
I
that
not.
From Carla from Celeste Oliva because she was a past sponsor on the show and she's been on the show a couple of times
mm-hmm.
and learned a great deal about olive oil. So,
wow.
Yeah, yeah. It's terrible.
It makes you wonder what else out there
it's
is
true.
That we're not getting.
It is
because
true.
Somebody's paying off somebody or the USDA is on somebody's payroll. You know it's happening.
Yeah.
So that's why eat local when you can. Buy from your
exactly.
local farmers because you know what you're getting. It's not something that came from overseas and went through all kinds of different hands, and the price gets jacked up because somebody's paying somebody off.
Exactly.
So, okay. Well, it's very good. Thank you for bringing that.
Oh, you're welcome. I knew you'd like it. When I made them and I had them all up on my counter, they were so pretty with my two tomatoes. I'm like, I got to send that to Mike.
Oh, yeah.
I tried to find Steve Freeman on Facebook, but he's nowhere to be found on
no.
Facebook. He's not a Facebook guy because I wanted to friend him and show him a picture.
You could probably put it on the Manchester Co-op Facebook page
That's
because
what I
even
done.
More people would see it, including him.
That's what
so
I should
there's
have done.
So there's your next move during
done.
A commercial break.
I will. It's also National Potato Day. Potato. And I just had a few little trivia or,
okay.
you know. How many pounds do you think the average American eats of potatoes each year?
Ooh, I'm gonna say 35.
You are way off.
Is it more?
It is.
Really?
It is.
And
I was shocked at this, too.
Oh, my God.
The average American eats approximately blank pounds of potatoes each year.
All right. 75?
Nope.
How much?
126.
Stop it.
Isn't that crazy?
That's 2.5 pounds a week.
I thought that was a lot, too.
I don't. As much as I love potatoes, I don't eat that much. And I'll bet you most of that comes in French fries.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Take French fries away. What would it be?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and what else now you got for
the
me?
The potato is a relative, and I was a little shocked at this, too. The potato mm-hmm. is a relative of tobacco.
It is?
And the tomato.
Tomato I can
makes
see that.
Sense.
Right, but
tobacco? Doesn't, yeah.
I think I'm going to stoke up a little Yukon Gold fingerling tonight and see how that one hits
see
me.
See what happens.
Right.
Yeah, that's about it with that.
Well,
and, you know, under the, it's kind of, I love reading. Oh, wait a minute, where did I read that? There's four people in the white pages with the last name Potato.
Is it really? Well,
I always find that
there's,
funny.
I bet you there's.
Mr. and Mrs. Potato. Could you imagine?
Potato Head. Oh,
I bet you that bride probably keeps her name.
You think?
I think.
Would you? That's too funny. Well, there's actually a website where you can. It's called howmanyofme.com, and you can punch in your name, Carol Lawrence, and see how many Carol Lawrences there are. And you could also just punch in the last name Potato and see how many people in this country. And they take it out of the Social Security or the census records.
So
it's pretty official.
It's pretty accurate.
So I'll bet you, during the break, if I have enough time, I'm going to try to punch that in and see how many people with the last name of Potato there
Let's
are
see if it matches.
In this country. Yeah.
It says four here.
Huh. It could be. I bet it's more than that.
I was a little surprised at that also.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that right now.
Yeah, interesting.
Yes.
And let's remind people, too, that this Sunday, Fire on the Mountain, the annual Henniker Rotary Chili Fest is happening this Sunday, starts at noon. It's going to be a fun day for all, you know, families go. This year, they're doing the event on the base of the mountain. So they're hoping that maybe the lines won't be as bad. And they have, like I said, they have all kinds of activities for the kids and there's
classic
they sell
car
items
show.
Too classic car show
oh yeah there's beer tent there's also a vendor area and I will be a vendor selling a bunch of different things my chocolate infinity cookies I made some kicked up sriracha nuts last night that I'm going to bring and Barb and I are working on possibly a loaf cake maybe lemon or I'm thinking of maybe trying a peach loaf cake. I found that online last night. So because, you know, people are just eating pretty much savory foods, and I didn't notice a lot of people selling sweets last year.
There you go.
All right, we'll set up a table. Let's chew Hampshire. We'll
see
what happens. Exactly.
See what happens. I think it should be fun. I'm anxious. I'm looking forward to it. So.
Well, I got howmanyofme.com, but it's taken a while to load.
Well, it's because we're down here.
But I get five dots. I get five dots on my phone. Yeah,
well,
I do.
Well, it doesn't make sense then. I wonder why.
I don't know. That's crazy.
How about if we take a break?
Okay.
And you can maybe see if your five dots are going to work better. And when we come back, we'll be joined with Ethan Jenkins, who has hiked the Appalachian Trail. Get ready to hear a great story. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We are live at the Beacon Building. We're at 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. And I did just get a text from a friend who must be traveling northbound. And apparently there is a shutdown on 93 at exit 13.
So, in other words, nobody's getting through there?
Apparently not.
Because they don't usually shut it down for you know, any reason except something like that.
Right.
Northbound 93 between 13 and 14.
Correct.
A crater has opened up, sinkhole. Don't know the degree or severity of it, but Andrew, anytime you get some information, just tap it on the computer to Carol so we can keep everybody up to date.
Exactly.
You're going to be taking a little side trip. I feel badly for the people heading up north that have never been in this area, and I hope that they have GPS in their car. They can kind of figure out their way
to get back. Well, they must have the detour problem. You know,
well, they're probably putting those out now, the detour signs and cones.
You can really get off. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty... Too bad.
No, it's not. But if you're not from around here, you go, what am I going to do?
I hate detours. I had to go to Devon's Mass on Monday night, and there was a detour.
Oh, where the old military
Getting
installation
there
is?
Was okay.
Right.
But...
Route
you know, two. I mean, it was light, you know, day, and I'm getting older, and I didn't have my stupid glasses, which was really stupid, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
So when I left, and I was by myself, and it was night, and yeah, I didn't like that.
So you were at Fort Devens in AIR?
Not. I was at in Devens, Mass. I was at a Thrive event.
Oh, okay.
A Thrive after
Thrive. Where's that near? I've not. There's Fort Devens.
It is near AIR in Littleton.
Okay, well, it's an old military installation.
But I wasn't there.
You weren't
That's
in
what
there.
I mean.
Okay.
I wasn't at that
Got
particular
it. Okay.
place. But yes, right near there. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Well, we have somebody in studio with us. I'd like to, it gives me great pleasure to introduce Ethan Jenkins. Just to kind of set the table here, last October, I got a note from Ethan on LinkedIn.
That's right.
You remember that?
Yeah.
And so I get a note, and you know, he's thinking about doing a book, and he sees that I did one, and you know, just was looking for a little advice on, you know, the procedure, because it's, you know, try to do it yourself without any coaching would be very difficult. So he basically gave me a little synopsis of what the book was going to be about, and I looked at it, and I said, this is an amazing story. This is really incredible. And he'll share it. I'm not going to say what it is now. So after a little bit of time, I approached New Hampshire Magazine. I said, you know, I'm going to talk to this guy, and if it all checks out, I have a great idea for a story. And so finally, you know, 10 months later, it's the cover story of the current or the new issue, September issue of New Hampshire Magazine. And it's Transformations on the Trail, meaning the Appalachian Trail. And as it was pointed out in the story, it's the rare person whose life isn't changed somewhat by hiking the trail, one way or the other, some more than others. In the particular case of our guest today, it was literally, in my opinion, perhaps the difference of life and death.
Oh, my.
So with that, we welcome Ethan Jenkins from Goffstown. Hi, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
You and I sat down in February, I think.
That's right.
And we chatted, and I recorded the conversation, went back home, wrote the story, sent it to New Hampshire Magazine, and so now people can read. It's one of, I think, four or five different transformations that actually occurred. And when I say a matter of life and death, you were to the point of considering taking your own life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, without a doubt. I was at the old Farnham Center, which is, I think, at the end of Hanover Street, and I was on the fourth floor, and I was so desperate for a drink at that time. I could not visualize my life without going a day sober. And because of that, I thought, well, I'm just going to kill myself. And it was I was right across from FNUF Funeral Homes. It was the one-stop shop, I figured. So that's the desperation.
You're sick.
The desperation. But then I thought, well, if I jump out of this window and somebody happens to be walking by and I hurt them, you know, and I live and they die, then it's going to be all for, and this whole thing's going through my head. So I'm so overwhelmed. I go to bed, and that's when I have the dream of hiking the Appalachian Trail, which I, at the time, really didn't know anything about. I must have seen it in a movie. I must have seen it somehow or read about it, picked it up somehow. I don't really remember.
But there's a whole new wrinkle. You weren't just going to hike it. You had a specific person in mind as your inspiration.
Right. So during the dream, I had a dream that my grandmother at the time was dying from Alzheimer's, ended up dying from it. And in the dream, I had a piece of her favorite dress, and I brought it along with me, and I buried it at the end at Katahdin, which I didn't even know was Katahdin at the time.
Well, tell people what it is, because
it's the end of the trail, and now it's starting to be
In Maine.
I'm sorry, and now it's starting to be the beginning in Baxter State Park in Maine, and people are starting to hike that and ending in Georgia. But for the most majority of people, they start in Georgia and they end in Maine. That's the majority of people. So that was the dream. So the next day, I actually, for the first time in my life, had purpose again. And that's when everything sort of took hold. And I had a new drive and a new sense of purpose. And since that day, I've never had a drink in my life.
So you've been clean and sober for two years?
Going on, this February will be five.
5 years?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what have mental health professionals said to you after you, I assume you shared the story with, if you have a counselor or somebody, you told them you had this dream and this is what you did. Is that unusual for somebody to be that taken by a dream and completely become clean and sober, leave addictions behind?
I don't know if it was necessarily that it was all like just it happened like that. You know, you tell a majority of people that you're going to hike the Appalachian Trail, 9 out of 10 of them are going to laugh in your face. And then one person is going to say, maybe you can do that. And that's the one person that you kind of buddy up with. Because, you know what I mean? If you hear and you listen to all the voices that are negative, you're going to start becoming that negative aura. And so I only hung out with the people that would tell me, well, you know, it's possible. I mean, you know, why not? Why can't you do it type of thing? And then I started doing research and I started, you know, my whole life sort of got consumed by the Appalachian Trail. And, you know, and then one thing led to another and I'm in Georgia.
All right. So go ahead, Carol.
Well, what I just like to know is what is the timeline from that moment at night when you wanted to jump out that fourth floor window to being in Georgia, like all that?
I think it was over a year.
Okay.
Over a year or two, I believe, around that. Yeah. And that was a very difficult time, but it was also a time where I knew I had a purpose to fulfill. And if I didn't do it, I'd be not only letting myself down, but letting my grandmother down. Because when she died, I buried a note in her casket. I put it in her casket. And it said, that I'm never going to drink again, and I'm going to bury a piece of your dress at Katahdin. And I remember that. I remember that being something that was always weighing over my head. That if I didn't do this, it wasn't on me. It was also I had this now that I made a promise, and I have to fulfill that. So that was huge.
I think people need to understand the scope of doing the Appalachian Trail, because I couldn't fully appreciate it until I spoke with Ethan and did a little homework of myself to see, all right, how hard is it to do 2,200 miles? Essentially, you start in the spring because it takes a couple months to do it or you're going to kill yourself. And a majority of people do not get it. Now, in full disclosure, you didn't do 2,200 miles. You did 1,600.
Correct.
Which is still, I mean, that's most of it, and that pretty much proves that you set out and you did what you said you would do.
Right.
So it is very difficult
to do. Oh, yeah. It's not easy.
Yeah. And expensive, too. You had to get sponsors.
Yeah, well, that's a funny thing, because who's going to sponsor you if you don't have an experience? But, you know, it's the catch-22. So we got rejected by something like, I think, hundreds of companies, just hang up after hang up after hang up after hang up, and then one says yes, and then that's kind of the trickle effect and everything, where you just latch on to that one person that says yes, and then you just kind of go from there.
When was this?
The hike was last year.
Last year,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, we got I know this is a food show. We got
sponsored
by a food company, the Dehydrated Food.
Okay.
And so that was really cost effective for us, because we didn't have to go out and, you know, purchase our own. And those dehydrated camp foods are really expensive, because they're a whole meal in one that can feed two people. And when you're burning 5,000 calories a day, you know, you don't think it's a lot, but you'll eat anything. You know, you'll eat anything. And you and I talked about that. I
mean, yes.
You know, people really put up any kind of concoction together just to get some protein. You know, I mean, ramen noodles and grape jelly, and they're good to go. You know, I mean,
you need to write a cookbook with all those.
Oh, man,
things
that it was incredible the kind of things that these people came up with. But it's sort of ingenious. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's not about, I mean, for me and the people that I think Mike interviewed, and I don't want to speak for you, mm-hmm. but the hike is the backdrop to everything. And I think the people you meet and the experiences you have are always the forefront. So, I mean, to me, after a while, I could care less about the hike. You know, I mean, right. Yeah, view's a view. I can see a view anytime, but it was never really about the hike. It was always about who am I meeting today? What's their story? Can we relate? How can I put this in my book? And so on. So
let's talk about your addiction.
Yeah.
So how long have you been sober?
It's going on, it'll be 5 years in February.
Good for you.
Yeah. So what are you going to do?
Well, you just talked about burning 5,000 calories a day, which I don't know if that's the real number, but for somebody your age and size, probably a 2,500 calorie a day intake is what you need to maintain,
right.
You know, without gaining weight. You lost a lot of weight, and that was another one of the benefits of this hike.
Well, I don't know if I took my first mile, I threw up, and I remember my buddy looked back at me, and he gave me a look like, oh, we're in for it, because, you know, here's a guy who's 50 or 60 pounds overweight. My pack is completely packed wrong. I don't have any experience. I have really no reason to be out there whatsoever. I mean, I'm with guys who are professionals in terms of what they've hiked and what they've done. And here's a guy who's never – it took me 2 weeks to set up my own tent. You know, I had no experience whatsoever. And it's almost – having no experience was almost in my benefit, because had I known how difficult it really was, I wouldn't have done it. There's no way I would have done it. I mean, I would have just given up before I even started, because that's how difficult it was. And it's just every day it's a mental game. It's the physical you kind of get acclimated to, but it's always the mental game of, I got to wake up and do 20 miles today. I got to do 15 miles today. You know, and so it's trying to play tricks with your mind of, oh, okay, well, I'm going to go into town today. Who can I meet? What story can I get out of them? What can I put in the book? What can I, you know, so it's always, and what would my grandma, if I quit right now, what would she think of me? You know what I'm saying? What would she think if I quit right now? I have to be a voice for the voiceless in terms of Alzheimer's, in terms of her, in terms of what she went through. So, yeah.
And she had also struggled with cancer,
yep.
and some other issues, yet you always found her to be inspiring in that she always had a positive outlook.
Yeah, and that's, you know, if you talk to families or caregivers of someone with Alzheimer's, it's interesting that someone who's very sweet can actually turn on a dime and just be very aggressive and angry and then swear like a sailor, or they can actually, you know, stay sweet, and you just never know. It's a mixed bag. And she was always just, we got really lucky. She was always really sweet until the end. And she thought she was still a nurse when she was in the nursing home. So she started doing rounds in her wheelchair and taking vitals. You know what I mean? This is the type of woman she was.
God bless her.
You know, the people, the residents, I guess, in the nursing home would just think nothing of it, because, you know, and they gave her clipboards, so she's out doing her rounds, and, you know, and she'd report that someone's drinking on the job or something, sleeping, or. And, you know, that's just her. And one day we took her out to the Outback restaurant. And I don't know if I told you this. And she said, and it was my whole family. And she said, I got this. And we're like, what money does she have? And she takes out her little bitty change purse, and she puts it inside the waiter's tip jar. You know where I'm going with this, right? And she folds, and she gives it to him. And he looks at her, and he goes, oh, it's just too much money. I can't accept it. And she's, nah, you take that. And he's walking past us, and my uncle kind of grabs, and he said, what's in it? And he opens it up and shows him. It's just a bill wads full of Monopoly money, like 500s and hundreds. And so it was cool on one hand that we had such a great waiter that he kind of played along
yeah.
with it. And it was sad in another sense that she lost all concept of money. You know, so it was twofold. But again, you remember the good, you don't remember you try not to remember as much the bad. But
sure, we need to take a little break, Carol.
We do.
There's
we
more
do.
To tell.
There. Oh, I
Transformations on the Trail with Ethan Jenkins.
We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Well, the pulse of I-93 northbound in Concord between exit 13 and 14 today is basically flatlining because you're getting off at exit 13. There was a sinkhole that opened up. Don't know which lane or exactly where between exits 13 and 14 northbound on 93, but we do know the traffic is being rerouted off, and you'll eventually be brought back on probably at exit 14 would be my guess. But pay attention. Just follow the car in front of you because chances are they're following the one in front of them, and eventually you'll get back on the highway.
We'll eventually get to the detour.
Our show is brought to you by Integrity Health Coaching Solutions of Bedford and Londonderry and soon North Conway and Mama McDonough's Irish Pub on Depot Street in Hillsborough. In our remaining 5 minutes, we'll continue chatting with Ethan Jenkins. You can read his story, or in a very brief form, in the current issue of New Hampshire Magazine, the September issue, a story that's called Hiking for Dottie. Dottie was the name of his grandmother, who appeared in a dream that motivated him to leave his life of alcohol addiction, to become clean and sober, and to make the hike for Dottie from Georgia, where it begins, to the terminus at Mount Katahdin in the state of Maine, right there at Baxter State Park's entrance. So, Ethan, because it is a food show, I just wanted to spend a moment or two on the concept of trail angels, and in particular the woman who would set up a little, what looked like a little country store, but yeah, everything would be free, and she does it every year in New Jersey.
Sure, her name's Shug, and she is definitely a trail angel. And what that is, it's basically people who leave, like, say, a cooler full of sodas or something, you crave sugar, mm-hmm, or any type of protein bars, and they'll just leave it, and they'll say trail angel. And so it'll be literally like, you know, you're walking forever, you're so depressed, and then all of a sudden a booty of just goodness is right in front of you. And she sets up, like you said, literally like a corner store, and it has every little item you can think of, from toothbrushes to she was grilling. She had beer. She had everything you can think of for thru-hikers. And so, I mean, talk about stocking up. I mean, for us, we were like, you know, doomsday preppers. And we went to town, and she was barbecuing, and she just really, you know, took care of us and helped us out. When you haven't had a hamburger or whatever in so long, you forget how good it tastes. And it's amazing just the stuff the trail angels do. And they'll just sit down with like a cooler, and they'll just say, oh, sit down and let's talk. And, you know, a majority of them I thought were going to be religious, but they're really not. It was more about what's your story and why are you doing it. So it was kind of the same reason I was doing it, yet they didn't have to hike. So it was kind of nice. So, yeah.
Yeah, she had a daughter who had actually taken up a friendship with a stranger that
right,
she had met on the trail, and I don't think Mom was that crazy about it.
No.
But she things turned out okay, and she was supporting. She said, well, you know, why fight the kid? Why not become a part of this whole process?
Yeah.
And make something good happen? Because we are, you know, coming up against the clock, let's come to the end now, and your Katahdin, and the feeling and the emotion and the welcome you received when you and your hiking partner approached your final destination.
So as we were getting up the mountain, and we could see the sign, you can see it in the distance, a little fog, cloudy, because you're up so high in the elevation. We started seeing a group of probably 50 people, and they all started clapping for us because they could tell we were thru hikers. And that sense of pride and joy, and the sense that we accomplished something that, I mean, I never thought in a million years I'd be able to do a year prior, right? Or a year, 2 years prior. I never thought I'd be able to do. And they all clapped for us, and they, you know, hit us on the back, and you just start crying. And then we found a rock tower, and that's where I buried a piece of my grandmother's dress. We put it in there. But as I was doing that, a guy handed me a soda, and I said, oh, thanks, man. I'm like, I could really use this right now. Well, I look at it, and it's a generic beer. It was an imported beer that looked like a generic soda. And I said, well, how fitting. So I put them both in there together, and I put the rock back in. So it was sort of it was burying two things at once, in a sense. So it was kind of a good way to end.
Wow.
You know, yeah.
And the response from your family, when there may have been naysayers, friends, family, and you did it, they looked at you differently now.
Yeah, I think so. It's like the Doug Flutie Hail Mary. You know, sometimes I have to look at it that way, or the Patriots Malcolm Butler, or, you know what I mean? It's like, you think things like this just can't happen, and people forget the power of the human spirit, and we forget how powerful we are mentally sometimes, that we can control our own destiny. And I really am a firm believer that dreams are a gateway to our destiny. And so, yeah.
So the book will be called?
Believe.
Believe, and it'll be coming out, what, early next year?
Early next year.
And if people wanted to get in touch with you to speak to their organization, they could do that?
Yeah, at hikingfordottie@gmail.com, DOTTIEFOR, Dottie, yeah.
Ethan Jenkins, look for his story in the current issue of New Hampshire Magazine, Transformations on the Trails, Hiking for Dottie. Well, I'm glad finally I got to have it on the radio show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you. And now we're at the top of the hour. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with Donna's Delights from Delaware. Stay tuned.